Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ear to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Oxen ask before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now you hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened heaven's door, and we are blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Child lowly in a manger, there he lay the undefiled, to the world a stranger. Such a babe in such a place, can he be the Savior and the saved of all the race who have found this paper? Angels sing his birth, wise men sought and found him, heaven's star shone brightly forth, glory all around him, shepherds saw the wondrous sight, heard the angels singing, all the plains were lit that night, all the hills were from the rooms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. O creation, join in praising God the Father, Spirit, Son. Evermore your voice is raising to the eternal three in one. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Good morning and welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior on this, our second most holy day of our Christian year, when we mark the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you are here in person, whether you are following us on Zoom, or if you catch the service several days from now on our YouTube channel, we are glad that you are participating with us and celebrating with us this morning. Just a couple of things of note. The office, the church office, will be closed both Monday and Tuesday. So tomorrow and the next day, we will open again for regular hours on Wednesday. Our session is looking to create a pastor nominating committee. They have begun reaching out to people. The session has prayerfully, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, made a list of people they would like to contact. If a member of the session calls and asks you or speaks to you about being on the pastor nominating committee, please know that nobody was throwing darts at a board or anything like that. This is the work of God, and we ask that you think seriously and pray seriously before giving your answer either way. So please, you know, if that happens, be aware of it and know it. Just briefly, the announcements for the coming week. Today, we are having fellowship time, growing connections in the fellowship hall, sharing of ornaments or others, whatever you may have brought. If you haven't, that's wonderful. Come and eat some of the cookies. There are a boatload of cookies left over from last night, and if you don't eat them today, you will see them next Sunday and the Sunday after that. So think about it. The men's breakfast on Wednesday, I will be at the Pumpin' Pantry at 8 o'clock. And I encourage those of you men who can, if that is available to you, to please come and be there. And then next Sunday, notice, we will be having regular worship service. What better way to begin a new year than to come together and worship God and ask God's blessings on our ministry for the year ahead? So I hope that you will take a moment to notice all of these announcements. And one special announcement that I was asked to make, Judy and Lynn Mellenton, am I saying that right? Mellenton, right? Tomorrow, 65th wedding anniversary, right? Thank you. Seriously, thank you for your ministry, showing what a vital, real, long-term relationship looks like. We need more of those in our world today. So thank you very much for that ministry to the larger church. Have I got all the announcements? Have I missed anything? Then friends, what a wonderful day. What an opportunity to come together and be God's people, celebrating the birth of our risen Lord and Savior. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song.
For the true life has come into the world.
Break forth into singing.
For in Christ is life.
The Word has become flesh and lives among us.
And we have seen God's glory, full of grace and truth.
your death and your resurrection. As we celebrate, Lord, help us to be the hands and feet of Christ to those in need around us. Open our eyes and let us see them as you see them.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Please rise for the call to worship. Glory to God in the highest. The Savior has borne for us. We rejoice in what God has made known to us.
Let us journey together to see what God has done.
Glory to you, Almighty God, for you sent your only begotten Son that we might have new life.
Glory to you,
Lord Jesus Christ, for you became flesh and lived among us that you might become. Glory to you, Holy Spirit, for you direct and rule our lives.
Glory to you, Almighty God,
to your Son, Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
On this day you shall reign with the song children sing to the Lord Christ our King, born on earth to save us. Him the Father gave us.
Call to confession. Christ Jesus came to save us, not because of our works, but according to the mercy of God through the water of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin. God of grace and truth, in Jesus Christ you came among us as a light shining in darkness.
We
confess that we have not welcomed the light or trusted good news to be good. We have closed our eyes to glory in our midst, expecting little and hoping for less. Forgive our doubt and renew our hope, so that we may receive the fullness of your grace and live in the truth of Christ the Lord. In the heart of our hearts, we confess our sins to God.
My beloved, Christ our Savior gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from our sin and claim us as his own. Beloved, believe the good news of our faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen. And now, because we are at peace with God, we can be at peace with one another. I urge you to take a moment to share God's peace with those around you and with those who are not here by perhaps sending them a text or an emoji. The peace of Christ be with you.
To God, glory to God, glory in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, alleluia, alleluia. Gloria, gloria, in excelsis Deo.
The epistle lesson comes from the book Titus, the third chapter, verses 4-7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The second epistle lesson comes from the Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1-12. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," or "Today I will be his father and he will be my son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And in the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth and the heavens, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing, and like a cloak you will roll them up. And like clothing they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will never end."
Thank you, ma'am. Our gospel lesson this morning is this wonderful, the prologue to the Gospel of John. And like any good prologue or overture in a piece of music, the introduction, if you will, to the Gospel of John really sums up the entire gospel. So if you just have this part of the Gospel of John, you really have the gospel in its entirety. And then, of course, you have to read the rest of the gospel to see how it all is fleshed out. But this is what we read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name and gave, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. My friends, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. Jennifer? Absolutely. I was hoping you would. Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Well, this book is too good not to read today, so we're gonna read a book today. And our book, and I know you can't see it, so what we're gonna do is we'll describe it. It's called Claude the Dog, A Christmas Story, and Dick Gackenbach is the author and the illustrator. And it's a very old book that's one of my favorites. So we're gonna read it today, and we're gonna take parts. Merry Christmas, Claude. We didn't forget to see. And Claude's got his ear up and he's watching, and his a little boy is bringing a sled full of presents for him. Here's a dog pillow from Mama and a dog blanket from Papa. Claude is really excited. And a rubber mouse from me. That's all. Be a good dog, Claude. And Claude is happy. And now along comes Bummer. Bummer is a friend of Claude's. He has no home. Look at all my presents, Bummer.
My, you are a lucky dog, Claude.
See my soft pillow, Bummer?
Never saw a pillow, Claude. I sleep on the hard ground.
Here. You take my pillow, Bummer.
Oh, thank you, Claude.
Bummer is really excited now. See my nice warm blanket, Bummer?
Never saw a blanket, Claude. My nights are very cold.
And Bummer's shivering. Then you take my blanket, Bummer.
Thank you, Claude.
See my toy? It's a rubber mouse, Bummer.
Never had a toy, Claude. Sometimes I get very lonely.
Then you take my rubber mouse to keep you company, Bummer.
But you have no presents left, Claude.
My best present is at home, Bummer.
You've made me so happy, Claude. I wish you a very Merry Christmas.
And Bummer is walking with all of his stuff. And now Claude is running and he says, Merry Christmas to you, Bummer. And he thumps on the door. and he crunches over the little boy and he slurps him with all the kisses that he has. "We love you, Claude," is what the boy says. So we as adults and as kids get so busy wondering what our presents are going to be and what presents we're going to give. But Claude remembered what the very best present is: to know that he is loved. And we have that very present every single day. And that's for us to remember that God loves us so much that he gave us Jesus. Let's take some time and let's pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. And we just ask that you would help us to remember that gift each and every day, to know that we are loved by you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Please, my friends, please be seated. I think Claude the dog should make an appearance the next time we have a capital campaign or a stewardship campaign. That is a timeless, timeless message. Thank you, Jennifer, for that. So, on this Christmas day, it seems a good time to ask the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? You know, one way or another, we've been talking about this for the last month. Who is Jesus? What does Jesus do? Why is Jesus special? Who is Jesus? But how do we do that? How do we summarize someone so large and so important as Jesus? How can we hope to clearly and succinctly state who Jesus is? Well, some people respond by concentrating on a particular part or aspect. They pick one aspect of Jesus, and that is what they celebrate. Now, Thomas Jefferson, our third president, believed Jesus was above all a great teacher. Most importantly of all, Jesus was a great teacher. And I went backwards. There we go. Yes, that's right. Now, interestingly, Jefferson did not believe in miracles. Jefferson cut out all of the miracles of Jesus from his Bibles. This is one of them. If you go to the Smithsonian Museum, you can find Jefferson's Bible, which is the Bible with all the miracles removed. Well, you know, if you take out all the miracles of Jesus, that what does that leave you, you know? Jesus, according to Thomas Jefferson, was first, foremost, and always a teacher. For some people, Jesus is the one who died for our sins. There, Jesus is first and foremost the Jesus of the cross. Now, Karl Barth, who was arguably the greatest Protestant theologian of the 20th century, kept this picture of the crucified Jesus on his desk. This is the picture that he kept on his desk. For him, that's who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who was crucified and raised to new life. If you can, if you would bear with me just a moment, it's a fascinating picture. Over here on our left is Mary, the mother of Jesus. You can tell she's Mary because she's dressed in white. She is in the arms of the disciple Jesus loved. Remember in John's gospel, Jesus says to the disciple whom he loved, "Behold your mother." He says to Mary, "Behold your son." Next to them, kneeling, is either Mary of Bethany or else Mary Magdalene. We're not really sure which, but notice the little jar at the feet there. That's the jar of perfume or anointing oil for Jesus' burial. Across from there is the Lamb of God holding the cross. If you get up close to it sometime, you will see he is actually dripping blood down into the chalice. Remember communion, this is my blood that is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And then next to the Lamb on the far right is John the Baptist pointing to Jesus, because that's what John does, right? John is the one who points to Jesus. And there on the top, you have what we see as I-N-R-I. That stands for Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeon. Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeon, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. That's the first letter in the Latin on each of those. So for Karl Barth, Jesus was the one who was crucified. Others, especially at this time of year, like to concentrate on baby Jesus. The incarnation, the little Lord Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And they never let Jesus out of the manger, some of these folks. They never let him grow up. Sometime when you are bored, Google the famous Jesus prayer from the movie Talladega Nights, The Legend of Ricky Bobby. It's a humorous comedy about NASCAR racing. And Will Ferrell, who plays Ricky Bobby, spends the better part of 5 minutes praying to sweet little 8.5-pound tiny baby Jesus with your cute little golden fleece diapers and your tiny fist curled up in a ball. Use your magic baby powers to help us win tomorrow. And when his wife cuts in and yells at him that Jesus grew up and he grew a beard, he tells her it's his prayer, and he'll pray to baby Jesus if he wants to. For him, Jesus is always baby Jesus. And actually, that's not even a very good picture. I mean, I've seen a number of newborns, and they don't have that much hair, and their eyes are never open. This is what I like to call Christmas schmaltz, if anything. But seriously, Which one is he? Which one is Jesus? Is he a teacher? Is he the crucified one? Is he the baby in the manger? Yes. Yes, all of them and more. Remember our Titus passage that we had. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us according to his mercy through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus is telling us that Jesus is the Spirit of God poured out on us. And through Jesus, we are God's heirs. And through him, we receive eternal life. Our Hebrews text, in these last days, God has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. In the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing, like a cloak. You will roll them up, and like clothing they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never end. Our Hebrews text is telling us Jesus is God's word to us. Through Jesus, all was created. All that was created through Jesus. Jesus is God's glory, who keeps the universe in motion and sits at the right hand of God. He founded the heavens and the earth. Jesus is the unchanging, eternal. And then we had John's gospel with that famous prologue, "In the beginning was the Word." What's the Word? Logos, yes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. John is telling us that Jesus is God's word. The Greek word is logos, and it doesn't mean just word like word. It means he is the wisdom. He is the thoughts of God. And that through this word, all things were created. All things, like we heard in Hebrews, all things were created through Jesus. And everyone who receives him, who believes in him, he makes children of God. Are you confused yet? I am. Jesus is all of this and more. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Holy One. He is fully human yet fully divine. Jesus is the eternal Word of God become flesh. He is the one who was born for us, who died for us, and who was raised from death for us. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He is our teacher and our Savior. All of this, and more besides, is absolutely true. But trying to get a handle on Jesus by reading everything about him and examining every passage in detail is not very succinct. We lose the forest for the trees. It's like trying to examine a picture one pixel at a time. We need to back up. We need to see the big picture. But we need to be succinct. Briefly, in just a few words, who is Jesus? Let me tell you about Will Campbell. Will Campbell, he's been gone now about 10 years. Will Campbell was a Baptist preacher, Southern boy. In the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, he devoted his considerable time and energy and talents to the cause of desegregation. He worked to bring an end to segregation. In the 1950s, Will Campbell escorted young black children to Central High School in Little Rock. In 1963, when four black girls were killed at a church bombing in Alabama, he went there to comfort their families. Will Campbell was the only white man present at the founding of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And in 1968, when Martin Luther King was assassinated, Will Campbell was the only white man who went to the Lorraine Motel there in Memphis to mourn with the rest of King's friends. But it didn't stop there. Campbell cared for everybody. He even ministered to the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, went to visit them in the hospital, saw them when they were in jail. He would pray for them. God loves everybody, he said, and that means everybody. Will Campbell lived the gospel. Somebody once asked Will Campbell to explain the essence of God. He said he wanted it short and easy to understand, 10 words or less. Campbell thought a moment, and then he replied, "We're all bastards, but God loves us anyway." Let me say that again in case you think you misheard me. Will Campbell was a giant of the desegregation movement. He helped lead the way to treating people of every color, ethnicity, and belief as equal citizens. He was a Christian fiercely committed to loving all God's children. And when a friend asked him to give him the essence, the essential God, in just a few words, Campbell replied, "We're all bastards, but God loves us anyway." Now we need to understand, Campbell was not maligning the legitimacy of anyone's birth. What he meant was, we are all contemptuous, mean, hateful, spiteful, cruel, arrogant, greedy, envious, sinful. We have all fallen short of the grace and glory of God. In a word, we are depraved. Depraved. Now that's something we Presbyterians can get behind. We Presbyterians understand we are all depraved. We are all sinful. We have all fallen short of the grace and glory of God. Some of us more than others, yes, but we have all fallen short of the grace and glory of God. All human beings are depraved, which, incidentally, is why we need a Savior. You know, this is the inconvenient truth of Christmas that we tend to overlook, that we need salvation precisely because we are sinful. If we were not sinful creatures, there would be no need for Jesus to be born. The fact of Jesus' birth is a direct result of our sinfulness. We are depraved. We are fallen and sinful creatures, but God loves us anyway. We are all depraved, but God loves us anyway. There you have it. Short, sweet, succinct. Now, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? If we've learned anything this month, we've learned Jesus is the walking, talking, breathing incarnation of God's love. Jesus is how much God loves us. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus, you ask? If I may borrow from Brother Will, I would say, we are all depraved, but God loves us anyway, and Jesus is the proof. Tell me who Jesus is. Short, simple, succinct. Sure. We're all depraved, but God loves us anyway. And Jesus is the proof. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God, the Word of God, the divine teacher, the crucified and risen one, God's love made flesh, all that, and more. But if you want it short, sweet, and simple, I think this covers it. We're all depraved, but God loves us anyway, and Jesus is the proof. Thanks be to God. Amen. My friends, let us join together for a moment of prayer, rejoicing in the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray for this world that God loves so much, saying, Emmanuel, God with us, hear our prayer. Our holy Lord God, we come to you today on this day of the human birth of our Son, on this day of the one who existed before time itself, on this day when the one through whom all that was created, on this day he became one of us, not just born, but living among us, feeling our emotions, understanding our suffering and pain, being at one with us in our sorrows, and when the time had come, willingly laying down his life, that indeed his blood might be a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins for all people. In his holy name, Lord, today we pray for those who do not know the Prince of Peace, for those who are perhaps not aware of how much you love us. We pray for those who live in fear of violence, whether real or imagined, whether nearby or far away. We pray for those whose life is uncertain. Will there be work tomorrow? Will there be electricity tomorrow? Will there be food next week and the week after? We especially today pray for those whose employment takes them away from this day of worship, and especially those whose employment now is taking them into dangers, into the cold and the wind that we are so privileged to escape. We thank you, Lord, on this day for the goodness of life. We thank you that you have taught us how to live well in one another's company. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of long relationships and what they teach us about how much you love us. For truly, no one ever loves us longer or as well as you. We thank you for the health of our bodies. We thank you for the health of our minds. And we thank you that we know in this world we are never alone. And in the world to come, we shall dwell forever in your loving embrace. Holy One, as you have come to dwell among us, show us how to live as your faithful people, sharing the good news of your grace with all, through Christ, your Word made flesh, who taught us how to live lives of grace when he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Yes, Jesus is the proof of God's love. And in a very small way, may we show evidence of our love by sharing of our time, our ability, our passion, and our tithes and our offerings. Gracious Lord, we do indeed bring you now the gifts of our heart, and we pray that these gifts will be used to spread the good news of your love in Christ for all persons, not just nearby, but far away, for we know that your love encompasses all. We ask this in the name of the one who lived and died and rose again to save all of us, Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Born for us on earth below. See
shepherds say, tell you joyful news today. Why have you now left your sheep on the lonely mountain steep? Hail that ever-blessed morn, hail redemption's happy dawn. Sing throughout Jerusalem, Christ is born in Bethlehem. As we watched at dead of night, there appeared a wondrous light, angels singing peace on earth, told us of the Savior's birth. Hail that ever-blessed morn, hail redemption's happy dawn. Sing throughout Jerusalem, Christ is born in Bethlehem.
My friends, on your way out today, take a moment to thank those who help the service come together. We've had three services in less than 24 hours. We had three times as many bulletins this week as normal. Debbie was here last night. Last night she had help on the Zoom. Today she's running it all by herself. Chris Bartelt, as well as arranging that wonderful piece there we heard during the offering. Thank you, Chris. Learned something north of 30 pieces of music for just these three services. These sorts of things don't just happen. A lot of energy goes into them. And I encourage you, if you will, to stay for a few moments, enjoy the coffee and the cookies, share some ornaments or listen to stories about them. But most of all, I encourage you to do this, to remember that yes, we are depraved, but God loves us anyway. And not only that, Jesus is the proof of God's love. Friends, take this good news out into the world. And as you do so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord God, this day and always, grant you God's own peace. And so let all God's people say, Alleluia, Amen. Thank you, Carol, for your ministry. Very good of you.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.